Welcome to the Beyond Body podcast with your hosts, Mia and Holly. Join us for a sometimes fortnightly podcast
where we explore all things mental health, being a messy human, and how to get the most out of this one precious life.
And all the ridiculous stories in between. Welcome back, Hol.
Good morning, Mia. Great to be here.
Great to be with you too. How is 2024 now that we're shockingly almost at the end of January?
Oh, 2024 is going so fast.
Have you gotten used to writing the correct date yet? The amount of contracts where I've been like, yep, no surprise this one came back. It's in the past. I've put the wrong year on. Sorry, everyone.
That's so funny you say that. My bookkeeper came back to me. She's like, you've put 2023 in a lot of these things. I was like, we're going to have to get comfortable with this again.
But that tax year is over. You're not going to get anything for procrastination.
The year's going well. It's just fast. I think it's just, this is particularly, I think in January, everyone has their break and whatnot. And there's a bit of a slow transition to get like picking up the pace of it again. And then once the pace is up, full steam.
That's it. Like it's literally like back on deck. It's kind of like what happens at the end of the year where everyone forgets there's another year coming. And it's like, we can pick these things up next year. Like none of this is actually as time sensitive as you think it is. And then we get into the same mentality, like, oh, we got to catch up and we got to, you know, get everything back on board. And it's like, guys, we've got a whole 12 months ahead of us. Let's just slow and steady.
I also think something that influences that is sort of what we're talking about on the last podcast, where, you know, everyone has their goals for 2024 and this is like, quick, got action now, like January, got to do all these things. Yeah. Like, okay, let's just make this achievable and pace it out.
Do you know, I heard something recently, which makes so much sense from like, especially the work that we do and my very, very rudimentary understanding of like neuroscience and the way that we can build new things in the brain. That whole concept of like piling on the expectations of what you should have figured out in like January and how you should have all these great new routines and all these great new practices. The brain can only pay attention to like two, maximum three new things that it's working on. That's all it can do. And so if you're like splitting your focus and like piling the pressure on, it's like, there's just absolutely no way that you're going to be able to get anything really stuck. So by the time people get to this part of the month, they're like, doesn't work, didn't work again. It's like, well, it's more about approach than it is about like the expectations.
And then in that situation as well, if you're piling too much stuff onto the nervous system's going to be like, oh, no, I don't do this. Goes into shutdown.
Yeah. And then it's like, can I have all my terrible coping mechanisms that you've just tried to work on? Can I have the alcohol? Can I have the going out? Can I have like the terrible sleep? Can I do all the things that you set your intentions around when you started the year?
January's going well, everyone.
Cue shame spiral. So what are we talking about today, Hol?
Okay, so we're going to be talking about the Beyond Body Retreat that we ran in November and some ideas sort of from the retreat. We're going to talk a lot about meaning and purpose and why those things are really important in a recovery journey and how to actually practically understand them and use them.
It's something that I think there's so much that you and I are aligned on. And this is something that I learned at the retreat, which gave me so much confidence about our work together and the projects we do together and why I love doing them with you so much is because we're so aligned in so many ways and we're so different in such key ways as well. But on this topic, we're so aligned in terms of I think we both have the same sense of purpose and meaning and have the same sort of sense of what that feels like and the importance that it holds, not just in recovery and the place it held in our own recovery processes, but how we then pay that forward to the client work that we do and in our life as well. Like it wasn't just something that stopped at the door when recovery ended. It's something that has kept us, I think, quite tethered to all those really important lessons that we learned during that process.
There's so many reasons it's so important for recovery, but I feel like the first and maybe one of the biggest is that it gives importance to the journey beyond the tangible goals. I think so, you know, because having an eating disorder, it stops you from just living the life that you're supposed to. It takes you completely off course and is really going to limit your ability to move towards whatever it is that is, you know, genuinely and authentically important to you. I mean, look, my eating disorder had meaning, but it put meaning in the wrong place. Mm-hmm. Like it put meaning into food or the lack of food or external validation or external sources. Mm-hmm. But what is happening through this experience is that it's taking away your ability to see past your immediate experience, but having connection to meaning and purpose can pull you out of that narrow view and back onto a path that is genuine and actually has sustainable depth.
Yeah, absolutely. In terms of what you observed in your own recovery and what you see of clients, why is this element so important? Because if I often think that the eight keys, which can be a really great guide for all the elements that we need in recovery, like it's not just about the food, it's not just about the movement, it's not just about the body, it's about connection. There's a whole chapter on help seeking. And then there's the eighth key, which is a whole chapter about this very thing, purpose and meaning. So in terms of what you see in the client work that you do, like what layer does that add and what did it add for you?
So I feel like one of the biggest things that you can get from understanding meaning and purpose is that it's going to be this tool to help you separate from the eating disorder.
Mm.
So I think authentic meaning can assist you to see sort of, we'll start to put the pieces together of who are you without the eating disorder.
Mm.
I also think that meaning and purpose provide some of the biggest motivation in recovery because it's a connection to something beyond this. And whether that's a dream, a belief that there's more to life, that there's something else beyond the suffering, I think that idea of meaning, it holds so much more warmth and determination than something like, you know, like busy work is going to do, just ticking boxes because we're ticking the boxes. But this is actually understanding where you're going and why.
Yes, absolutely. I think when I thought about this episode and even conversations that we've had before, I think it's really beautifully encapsulated by something that you said once, which has always stuck with me, which is the difference between like ego decisions and soul decisions. And that purpose and meaning is so connected to that feeling of like, I am making decisions in alignment with my soul, in alignment with sort of the bigger why of who I am and why I'm here and what's important to me. Mm-hmm. And given eating disorders sever us from that instinct and sever us from sort of that soul alarm system or messaging system, being able to reconnect to that. And you can reconnect to it at any point of the recovery process. I often say to people, no, you do not need a big why to go into recovery. I think there's a lot of people who are waiting for a light bulb, a big why, a big motivator, or, you know, light bulb moment. I know that I was. But it's actually in the process of the slog and the doing and the, and, you know, getting yourself into it that then creates the opportunity to find that why, which is the purpose and the meaning. And it's, I get so excited to do that work with clients because it's such a, it can be such a fun exploration and experiment, but it's, it can be really daunting for people because the eating disorder has occupied so much of their identity and their day-to-day purpose, their focus, their goals, their, you know, sense of who they are, and it shaped who they think they are. And so they feel like if they abandon that and go looking, like there's just going to be this big black hole. And it's like, there isn't. There's probably some great clues about what does make you feel purposeful and meaningful all across your life, little windows, little glimpses, even, you know, people who you're connected to who reflect back some of those elements of you. Because when I went into recovery, I didn't have a big why. I didn't have purpose. I thought I had ruined my life. I had thought I had screwed up my life. I was really just looking at survival. I wasn't like, oh, I'm going to have this big Zen, you know, journey of exploration. It was something I'm so glad I stumbled upon because it added so much depth to the process, kept me tethered to why I was doing it. And then obviously like post that has kept me well because it's staying connected to that soul part of you.
Yes, it is exactly that. I agree with all of this. It is staying connected to that soul part of you because recovery is this unfolding of understanding about who you are and having a focus on meaning, specifically meaning, because I do think that meaning and purpose are different things.
Mm-hmm.
It pushes you to become really introspective because what is meaningful to you is an individual experience.
Mm.
And again, like it pulls you away from ticking the box goals, right? And we're ticking goals with intention. You're achieving these goals and moving in this direction because it's changing you, because it means something to you, because you now understand the value of the recovery struggle, because you know, it's the right kind of pain. It's the right kind of discomfort, right? And meaning shows you, like you're saying, it's not just all about the goals. It's literally about how you show up for yourself every single day. And this looks like being honest. I mean, it can look like a lot of things, but it definitely looks like being honest at every step about where you're going and how you want to feel while you're headed there and who you actually want to be when you arrive. Because look, it's all well and good to eat your meal plan, but you want to ask yourself, by making these behavioral changes, how is it changing me? How am I responding to the world differently? Is it how I'm soothing myself through struggle, or, you know, how I'm learning to be more present, or the intentions behind my decisions, or even is it you're changing because you are now welcoming and witnessing and learning to process your emotional experience differently? Mm. So, or maybe it's that you're learning that you actually can take full responsibility for life. So meaning and purpose really open up, like you're saying, these doors to a much deeper experience. It's kind of like taking like a 2D object and then it becomes like 4D.
Completely. Because as you were talking, the example I was thinking of is like the difference between like just the doing of stuff and then actually finding a layer of meaning is kind of like if you catch up with a friend, that sounds really meaningful. But what if you spend the whole time looking at your phone?
Yes.
Or you're not really paying attention to what they're saying. You're not really plugged into their emotional experience. You're just kind of there. Then, mm-hmm. yeah, it looks like something is happening that's important, but it's like, are you actually having the full experience of it? Are you present? Are you connected? Is it a meaningful experience that you're having? And this is not to say that it is incumbent on anyone to explore anything in recovery that they don't want to. I just hope they will, just by that example alone. Like, which one sounds better to you? Just showing up and ticking boxes and saying, yeah, I caught up with a friend and I could have taken it or left it. I really didn't experience anything that amazing. Or being able to explore the opportunity to feel that sense of meaning behind something that could just be like an arbitrary activity that you're doing. It's like a walk can be a walk, or it can be a walk where it is about who you're with and what you're looking at and the sunset that, you know, you're stumbling upon, or like the secret path, like the little walk that I do in the mornings. I found this gorgeous like secret garden the other day. I hope it wasn't someone's property. Ooh. I don't think it was.
Secret garden.
There's no fence, so I think legally I'm covered. There's a difference, right? It looks the same, but it's about the internal experience and like, how is it feeding you in that sense?
Yes. It's sort of like a lot of things are happening simultaneously, but it sort of looks like that shift from the doing to being, from thinking to feeling.
Mm.
And I think, you know, you can have, like you're saying, the exact same experience, but the latter will be so much more potent because there's this intention behind it, right? Like it's really being like, okay, this is important. This is where I'm going. This is what I need to do in this moment to get one step closer to that point.
Yeah.
I found reflecting on my ideas of purpose so interesting, because like you were saying to me before, I was very much one of those people who I thought purpose was this really big scary word. To me it genuinely felt paralyzing.
Yes.
Whereas the idea of meaning, I've always been able to connect with that. Like I know how to live with meaning and add meaning into my life and prioritize it. That feels like second nature to me. But the idea of purpose rattled me, mm-hmm. particularly when I was like 20, early 20s, and trying to navigate recovery, but also trying to find my feet as a grown-up person in the world.
I don't want to interrupt you, but I just want to say this is such a demonstration of what I meant by like us being yin and yang, because I'm the reverse. Oh. Meaning terrified me and still does a little bit, but purpose, I was like, oh, I've got this, like something I can do, a whole mission, let's do that. But like the meaning behind it, that balance, love, it's that balance.
We actually are yin and yang. My ideas of purpose, I thought it was this fixed thing. And I kind of felt like everyone's going to find their one and only purpose. And if you don't find it, you're a lost puppy. And I was the lost puppy. Felt like I was the lost puppy.
Mm.
But when reflecting on this, and this is like a present day reflection, how I was viewing it was looking at purpose as this external thing that would give me security.
Mm.
But that's not what it's supposed to do. I have realized that I was looking at the concept through the lens of lack, heavily influenced by my struggles at the time.
Mm.
I felt like I'm not okay without this thing. I felt like it was a thing that I needed to seek. But it's not that simple. I think everyone should have the autonomy to decide what purpose and that concept actually means to them. Because for someone, it could actually just be as simple as being a kind human and trying to show up with an open heart every day. Or for others, it will be finding this career and making impact and staying in it for 50 years, right?
Yeah.
I like this idea, right? And this is what really resonates with me, is that your purpose might change over time as you change and as you move through different seasons of life. And one of those really important seasons is recovery, because it is really where you, you know, you shed all these different layers of maybe things that are no longer in alignment to you. I love the that Japanese word ikigai, which it translates to the reason we live, or the discovery of hopes and dreams and purpose. And I think to me, it feels a bit softer, and I like soft things. And purpose, it kind of makes me feel like it's no longer a point that I have to reach, but it's rather how I choose to show up along the way. And I can live with purpose every single day. And that's what really feels true to me, that it's not necessarily an end goal. You know, for example, this work that we do, I love it, and I'm so drawn to it, and I'm passionate about it, and it, you know, energizes me and it challenges me. But I don't think it's my purpose. I think my purpose has always been to find my way home.
Yeah. And
that was very much ignited through recovery, when I was miles away from who I genuinely am. And, you know, as life passes and my external world evolves, as does my internal world, navigating how to move authentically and connect to myself through all these different changes of life, and then offer that to the world, and then naturally seeing what unfolds when I'm showing up embodied and authentic. I feel like that's what it is for me, because it makes me feel like I can be so much more fluid and I can move with life, and my purpose is going to evolve and change with me. Does that make sense?
100%. 100%. I also love that you said that purpose can be, like, people have the autonomy and agency to define what it means to them. Because I will, every time I mention the word success, I will always say whatever success means to you. Because we have, like, all of these, and I think this is true of the words purpose and meaning. We have these very, like, societally restrictive views of, like, if you think success on a societal level, it's probably somebody who's wealthy or is, you know, in a certain position in a business sense, or owns, you know, things, property, cars, all that sort of stuff. On its most, like, stereotypical level, that's not how I define success. Success is such, like, a nuanced thing, and purpose is, and meaning have been the same for me, particularly purpose, because this purposeful thing that I started doing when I, you know, was recovering, that was my purpose, was to recover. But then I accidentally started doing all this stuff, and I was like, that's really purposeful. That feels like something. And I think purpose is also, and meaning, are defined as things that are bigger than you, right? Something that's bigger than your ego. It's bigger than external validation. It's bigger than box ticking. It's something that you can, it's kind of like the sails, right? Like, it's something that pulls you along. It's something that has to be bigger than the actual, like, vessel that you're in. And so purpose for me for a long time is really specifically this work. In the last few years, that has changed drastically because of life experiences I've been through, life experiences I'm wanting to have. Like, I want to be a mom in a couple of years. And so it's been expansive. It's not any one thing, and it will shift, and it can make room for other things as well. It's not a label. It's not your job. It's not even who you are to other people necessarily. It can be, but it's really a sense, I think, if you can find that thing that is bigger than you. And I've seen that a lot, particularly from the transition from, like, 20s to 30s. So heads up, you've got this, just a bit of a spoiler alert. I have seen a difference even in people I know between those who found some kind of purpose as they reached their 30s and came into their 30s, and those who didn't. And those who didn't are really still searching, and I would define them as, like, a little bit lost, right? Versus people who are like, I'm anchored to this. I'm still able to explore and be flexible, but, like, there is something here that is bigger than me that means that I'm not getting stuck in cycles of, like, short-lived highs and, you know, impulsivity and putting myself first above everything and everyone else. It's a really anchoring process that you can go through to go and seek out A, your own definition of purpose and meaning, and then avenues to access it, which are bigger than just like labels.
I love this approach to it, because I think what you're saying sort of speaks to this idea that it's not at all, like, it's not just surface level. Mm. It's actually having this like full tether between who you are as a person and how you want to walk through the world. And then what is this life path and how are you actually going to, sorry, I randomly have just picked up a cold in the last 3 seconds.
Me too.
And once you know, have that connection to self, and I think you've spoken about it in a podcast before, that I think my feelings towards this other connection to self is the most important part of recovery. Like, I really think it is. It's you know, it's understanding, well, getting to know who you are without the things that gave you a sense of worth or identity or whatever it is there. And then from that place, I think from this deeper understanding of who you are, I feel like it's so much easier to navigate where you're going, because you're not trying to fill the space with all these things just because you feel like you should. Yeah. Or there's this beautiful Mary Oliver quote, who will always be my favorite poet. And she says, "Tell me what it is you plan to do with your one and precious life."
Mm.
I think that question right there can lead to so much knowing, like, what is it that means something to you? I often ask clients, if you were really to tune into your heart, what is it that you want your life to be about? Mm-hmm. What do you stand for? Mm-hmm. What do you want to do with this very brief time on the planet? And yeah, these questions, it's important to ask yourself these questions. A big way that I sort of try to introduce some of these ideas into coaching is to really look at this through a lens of curiosity and self-exploration. Mm-hmm. And to really engage with curiosity, you have to create intimate time to be with yourself.
Yeah.
And lean into intuition and create space for learning and creativity and space for some of these really big questions. But it's really hard to find time for these things when your eating disorder is consuming all your mental space. So yeah, coming into it being like, you don't have to know what the next thing is, but you're going to get...
So sorry.
I don't know what's going on with us.
I don't either. I'm literally like... I just before I got on the call, I was like, oh, my throat's a bit itchy, and now I'm like full-blown cold.
Oh, God. We really triggered each other. And then I think to help you answer some of these questions, it mm-hmm. does look like, which is a big part of the retreat, understanding what are your authentic values. This was one of the foundational workshops at the retreat, because mm-hmm. this is a really great first step to being able to answer some of those questions, because, you know, values are generally defined as things that matter to you, mm-hmm. and they can really be an anchor to your unique and genuine reason for being. They can also help identify the desired qualities of the actions that we will take, you know, and once we have our values, then we can start to understand the meaning of them, right? Because you and I could have the same values, but they have completely different meanings because we're different people.
Yes.
But I then think our values can really help you uncover pursuits and dreams, beliefs, or ways of being that matter to you.
I love that connection that you've made to values, because that's exactly what I was thinking in terms, especially how we saw it show up at the retreat in that first, not just the first workshop, but obviously the way we designed the retreat was so that everything kind of lent to each other, and the following workshops, kind of those themes continued. But that we very often, when people are doing values work, it's just like, list your values. And it's like, okay, now what? And what we got people to do was like, be intentional about not just how your values showing up in your life, but here's a safe container over the next few days to intentionally bring your values to the forefront in terms of how you approach some of the things that we're going to be doing, or even your interactions with other people. And how does that then feel? How does that feel to your healthy self versus when your eating disorder self-values might be showing up? And how can you tell the difference? Because when you've been living in your eating disorder self-values and you've been living by its definition of purpose and meaning, we get so accustomed to that, we forget about what that true, authentic connection to self feels like. And I think if that's how I could describe what I hope was the environment we created. It was a safe container to be like, here's these themes, here's these big questions, here's these big areas of exploration of self, and you only have to do it for a few days. And then if you want to commit to implementing it beyond this, like, we're all for it. But here's just an opportunity to explore and be curious and see how good it feels to do it here, and then come up with strategies for how to put it into your life, which is then obviously with the follow-up workshops that we did was much more about like that bigger long-term work. But you could just see their eyes lighting up when it was like, no, we're not just going to list your values. We're going to get really intentional about how we're actually going to bring this into the work we're going to be doing over the next few days, and even just the little activities or the self-care time or whatever it was.
I think everything was done incredibly intentionally, as we know. But I think because we did create this safe container, pretty much saying, come as you are, you're supported here. It did give people the space to step into that and to show up. You know, everyone came into this retreat with their own fears and their own doubts, but everyone also left with, I would hope, a deeper trust in their ability to continue this healing journey. Because, you know, the whole intention of the retreat speaks to this bigger picture of recovery. It's like what is the life you can find beyond the pain? And how can we use the pain that we've experienced to really set us up for life? I also think, just quickly linking back to purpose, that so many people's purpose will come from pain as well.
Yes. Yeah, it's what makes us empathetic. It's what makes us compassionate. It's what opens us up to understanding ourselves and understanding other people and understanding why certain things happen. And if, like there's always opportunity in that to be expand. Like, I mean, it's understandable if people do retreat with, you know, things that they go through, but there is always the opportunity to be expansive with it.
Yeah. And I think, you know, this is why the retreat was so special, but this is also like what you were saying before, this is why coaching is so important to me, because to sit at the table and play a significant part in someone's healing and witness them finding out who they are beyond the eating disorder, beyond the suffering, and seeing them connect with who they can be in the world. This is why I do this work.
Yeah.
I think meaning and purpose are two of the most important pieces in someone reaching and understanding their own potential.
Absolutely. I say to clients often when they're like, but the food and the food and the food, and like, it's all about the food. And I'm like, it's not all about the food. Trust me, if this job was just about getting people to eat food and like stick to meal plans and then like get off meal plans and like, you know, have food freedom, don't get me wrong, that would make it all worth it. I probably wouldn't still be doing it, because it isn't very meaningful or purposeful to me to just be like, let's get people to do the practical stuff without then translating that over to like the deeper work we can get them to do, and seeing their eyes light up, or getting a message where they're like, I had birthday cake for the first time, and the thing they reported isn't like, and I am so happy I ate the cake. It's like, and I'm so happy I could be included and I was involved, and you know, I felt like I was just like everybody else there, and I was actually able to be present and connected in that moment. It's like, the cake is one thing. That second part of the update is like, that is where that's where the purpose and meaning is for me, certainly. And I think that we really created that at the retreat, because if there's anything that was consistent across the beautiful feedback that the attendees generously gave us, it was purpose and meaning. It was adding these incredibly strong root systems to their not only recovery, but their sense of self as well. And that was part of the workshops, was obviously starting with the values stuff. And then my workshop was about then the next step of like identifying your personality traits and how these can be used to your advantage, or how they can start to skew into something which might work against you, which might work in more into the ego versus the soul, which might go into sort of the box ticking versus the purpose and meaning, and being able to cultivate some of those skills that will carry them through the rest of their recovery. But my hope always is that they're going to get the much bigger benefit long term for the rest of their lives with this stuff that we're teaching them. And obviously with your workshop as well, which is like, how do we take all of these lessons and all these experiences and actually commit to embodying them? And how can we relate to this new sense of definition of like who we are and what our purpose is in the world, and how we can find definitions of meaning and really intentionally commit to how we're going to show up in the world with all this newfound information that we have about ourselves.
It was really special, everyone.
And that's just the workshops.
And the workshops really were that cornerstone structural element to it. But, you know, I think so much of then the integration that we saw as well was just, you know, those moments between the moments.
Yes.
Where, you know, I would just see someone getting a bit teary in a meditation and have those feelings of something's really hit, like something shifted, something's changed. Or, you know, even some of my, like, the most precious moments to me were having an early morning cuppa as the sun is rising, as I'm cooking something in the kitchen, or with some of the girls one night, I just pulled out some ice cream from the freezer and had some spoons and was like, hey, who wants to lean on the kitchen bench and just eat this together?
Yeah.
There was just these moments of like silliness and playfulness, but deep support for everyone's experience that came through that sense of community and feeling just completely held.
Yes, safe container. And I like similar moments to you. It was about, like, you know, like the barbecue night when, like, I mean, there were a couple of occasions I had to get up and walk away because I literally, like, sucked chicken into my lung because I was laughing so hard. But you think about it, like, it's a retreat that's built around recovery. And obviously, like, we have people there who are further along, like, the recovery spectrum from a safety perspective. You know, we need to make sure that people are in the right place to do the retreat. But still, like, they still came with some of their own challenges and goals around food. And we're sitting around these tables with them where it could have just been dead silence, everyone anxious, everyone panicked, and we're all dying laughing, where the food was not the focus. The food was, as you say, like the decoration. It was like part of the experience, but it wasn't central to the experience. Mm. It became like the background music to what we were actually connected to, which was meaningful conversation, being able to connect with each other, being able to see each other, being able to, like, see the silliness and the fun in something that just is so often really dark and really lonely and really isolating and really challenging. That for me was like, this is it. Like, this is this demonstration. Workshops are great. I think we did a phenomenal job with the workshops, but that demonstration, not only from us, but what they demonstrated to each other, was so unbelievably powerful. Like, guys, this is it. When, and we said to them a couple of times when they're like, oh my God, that was so much fun, and this, and we were like, that's it. Like, when we're talking about how this is, this can feel, how life can be, how relating to yourself can feel, relating to other people, this is what the work is for. This feeling you're experiencing right now. It's like when we went out to lunch, we, you know, take everyone out to lunch on one of the final days, and we did the warm and fuzzies where everyone writes something beautiful about each other. Mine are literally sitting in that top drawer over there. I'm thinking I'm going to get mine framed in some way because they're just so beautiful. And I look at them all the time. And the intention here is to elicit that feeling of, like, being seen, being valued, having, you know, the best of you reflected back to you. And the wonderful thing always being that no one, everyone doesn't get together and say, what are we going to say about this person? Everyone comes up with their own, you know, thoughts and feelings about that individual. And they're always consistent. It's like, so whatever that dark voice in your head tells you about you, well, if all these people who you haven't known for more than a few days are saying the same thing, like, maybe that dark voice isn't quite right. But when they were like, we are feeling amazing, and we were like, that's it. This is it. You're not going to feel like that all the time, but this is how life can feel. And there's probably not a moment in your eating disorder where you were able to access those feelings. This is the true, rooted into your soul, rooted into who you are as a person and why you're meant to be here. This is it. Try to always navigate your way back to this if you're feeling lost.
I remember saying to one of the girls on one of the last days when they were having a moment like that, being like, I felt this way, or it clicked, or it felt different, or I was deeply present. I said, I want you to measure your life by the amount of moments like this you have.
Yes.
Like, not, yeah, you know, other successes, like we were saying before, of like the stereotypical, you know, dominant society understanding of what success is, but measure it by moments of presence. And I think, you know, we also went into the, yes, Mia and I put so much intention and thought and a year of work into this, but we didn't know how it was going to go.
No. Like,
we didn't know the impact that it would have on everyone, let alone the impact it would also have on us. I feel like we were both on cloud nine for like 3 weeks after the retreat, being like, That was magic.
I think that's why I didn't care that I was coming back from Lord Howe. I was like, all right, the next one's in April. Let's do this. I've got to get back. I've got to get that dopamine hit going again. Because it really was like, it was this feedback loop of like, and that's also what I love about this work and what I didn't expect at the retreat and should have, because it shows up in client work all the time. As much as they're learning from us, we are learning so much from them. We are seeing this transformation happening and like, what are those key light up moments and how can we teach them to recreate that and seek that out, as you say? Because yeah, I love that. Like, measure your life by this feeling. How can you access this feeling? And always holding eating disorder accountable in the sense that like, that's what it always promised. That feeling right there is what your eating disorder always promised. And it's only here because you've run in the opposite direction. And especially being as brave as our attendees are, like, we know it's a safe container. We know that we've put our heart and soul into it and how amazing we're going to make it. But that they put so much trust in us was such a privilege. They all came with their different like goals and intentions and reasons for being there. And they left having met what, you know, what their intentions were coming in, which we couldn't have expected either. Like, I was just hoping at the very minimum that they just had a great time, that they got to relax, that they got to have downtime, that they got some great skills. But yeah, the fact that I think that's why we were like, okay, well, if we're going to talk about the retreat, like what was the core of it? And these two words is what rings true as far as like what you could see when we did that final meditation at the beautiful picnic that you set up, where Holly got up at 4 o'clock in the morning to make twice baked cinnamon scrolls. Are the best things I've ever had in my life. But I was like, can we tell them that I did not expect you to do that? I was like, there is a bakery around the corner with croissants. But no, Holly was like, one of her values is creating beautiful experiences and pouring her heart into everything. And that's so much of your, how you bring meaning to experiences, is like you just pour your whole heart and soul into them. And that was certainly true of like, even down to the catering. It wasn't just like, oh, we'll get a bunch of food brought in and we'll, you know, just slap it on the table. It was, yeah, it's food, but it can be so much more than that. Like, look at how this person relates to food and expresses their love and their identity through how they provide for others. It was just magical. It was just so incredible.
I also think us being so, you know, hands-on, we're there from the beginning to the end every day, and very much, you know, me catering and that very much being sort of like intertwined with the whole experience. It's sort of even more so like normalized the experience of recreating this relationship with food that comes from, you know, its community and its expression and its making mistakes and its heritage. And the kitchen as well as the dining room table can be a classroom. And every time you sit down to eat, it can be a experience of healing, because, you know, look, food is how everyone got into their eating disorder, but it's also the way out of it. Mm-hmm. And it's being able to, you know, look at it differently and respond to it differently. One of my most favorite moments or experiences of the retreat was in a cooking class that we did. And it was just this space for everyone to try something new and learn some new skills and make mistakes and get messy and listen to Shania Twain and have
a
time. Like, it was just something magic happens when women come together with this like shared understanding of mutual respect, but also so open to expressing just who they are in the moment. Like, it was the best. I loved it.
I know, it was like a girlfriend's weekend away. I mean, where we were working 18 hour days, but it was like, it was kind of like, there was, you know, activities and all that kind of thing, but that was part of it as well, was like purpose and meaning being like how you take care of yourself, how you invest in yourself, how you rest, how you get comfortable with like the downtime, and us intentionally working that time in as well. Like, downtime, because especially when we have clients who attend, that's part of what we prepare them for as well, is like, there's going to be periods of rest, and how can we approach that in a way which feels like soul nourishing and feels like it's, you know, going to be part of how like you can kick your recovery forward, but also how you can learn to take care of yourself in a different way.
And I think the whole retreat really helped everyone explore this sort of multidimensional nature of well-being, that it's not just about the food you eat, you know, and getting 8 hours of sleep. It's actually about how you're speaking to yourself, how you're showing up in the world, how you're connecting with other people, because look, it's physical, it's emotional, it's psychological, it's social. Mm. It's all these different elements. And I think we were really giving people sort of this like baseline of how do you stay well, and not just how do you stay well, how do you thrive?
Mm.
How do you find this like framework and ways that work for you as an individual that are going to keep you moving to always towards this life of alignment and vitality and learning and being raw and honest and accepting all parts of yourself. There was the retreat had so many pieces to it that I think we didn't even know there were pieces to it until we were in it.
Completely. It's like, even like, I always knew I wanted to take them on a wilderness wander and to like, you know, take them through this part of the bush that's always been incredibly important and healing to me whenever I need grounding or I like have something to think over, get in the car, go down to the South Coast, maybe let mum know when I'm halfway and go, oh, by the way, I'm coming down. Do you mind? And she's like, well, it's a bit late now. But I'll immediately go into that part of the bush because it is just so, it's so, so clarifying. And it wasn't until like just before we did the retreat, I was like, there's something I want to do with them, which is, I want them throughout the walk to, like, if it's a leaf that's fallen, it's okay to pick it up. But if it's like a flower or it's something that's growing, like just to take a photo of it or to take notice of it. And then when we got to the end of the walk, I asked them to like show what was the thing that they picked, not to share it until they got to the end. And why was it beautiful or interesting to them? Or did it remind them of something? Was it something that was sentimental or nostalgic? And again, it's like a walk is a walk is a walk is a walk. And at the retreat, it could be too. Like, yeah, okay, we're going to go on a walk. And, you know, it's part of the experience and part of the environment. But what's another layer that you can add to that that makes it such a simple thing that makes it so much more colorful? You and I have talked about like romanticizing our lives and like cinematic moments in our lives. And that's what I think the feeling is like, live bigger, like get connected to something bigger, even if it is just like a collection of those little moments that could just be an average beige day, or they could be all lit up in Technicolor.
Another thing that I feel like added so much to the retreat and was just sort of this like full circle moment for probably both of us, even more so for you, because I feel like you're this circle ahead of me being your client, was that we were embodying what we were sharing from this place of, this is our, not only our lived experience, but this is our felt, breathed, like raw experience of healing. So I think, you know, it's great for someone to be like, hey, this is a workshop about like embodiment or values, but if you're not living by your values and you're not embodying that, it's, again, it's, there's no potency to it.
Empty. Completely. And I think, like I said to you, one of the things I loved about it that I didn't expect, but I mean, I expected us to show up authentically as ourselves, because I don't think you and I are capable of anything else. Like, I just don't. I just have no energy for it. But that we didn't, like, we weren't floating recovery goddesses. It wasn't like, oh, we've recovered from eating disorders and now we are perfect in every possible way. Like, we are, like, I know I'm a massive dag. I am like incredibly corny and like dad jokes, and there wasn't a pair of pants I didn't drop food on. And you were like, how many pairs of linen pants do you own me? And I was like, you are going to find out, because I'm going to drop food on all of them and I'm going to have to go and get changed again. I liked that we showed the after as well, which is like, the goal here isn't to go from trying to be perfect in your eating disorder, if that was part of its function, to being perfect in life. It is all the nuance and the mess, and that we're not presenting these workshops to you saying, this is what we have all figured out. It's, this is the compass that we use currently as people, as flawed, you know, human beings who are always trying and always evolving and always growing, but this isn't the end result. This is just the map that we use. And hopefully, like, the map gets you to the destination you're meant to get to as well.
I think I'm just so grateful for all of it, particularly all the women who came and were so brave. And like you were saying, just really trusted us, and also just for you, for doing this with me and like trusting me to do this.
I feel like I could not have done this. There was a time I was going to do this by myself, and not only just from manpower perspective, I couldn't have. it would not have been the same event without you. It would not be. Those testimonials would have been half as long and half as powerful if you hadn't been there. So you helped me way more than the opportunity could have helped you. I got the better end of the deal, hands down.
I feel like we both got a good end of the deal.
Yeah. So if anybody is interested in the retreat, we do have April coming up, but that is fully booked. We are going to be doing November, which the dates will go up. You and I are doing a planning day or planning series of days early Feb. So we will have those dates all across social media, on the website, etc. But you can get in touch currently via the Beyond Body website. I'll put that link below as well. If you'd like to do a consultation call, that doesn't mean you have to commit to anything or even want to come to November. You might just have some questions about the retreat generally. So feel free to get in touch.
Yes, there is a stage of recovery that you need to be at to, you know, come be able to come and actually engage and really get the most out of the experience. This retreat is for all behavioral profiles. It's for all body shapes, types, all walks of life.
Yes, absolutely. Great point. Well, Hol, I've loved reflecting on this with you because it's just revving me up for April. I'm so excited for us to get our heads together in February to plan that many more of these. And I think it's very clear how much I feel just privileged and honored to be able to co-pilot this stuff with you.
That's very sweet. I feel the same.
We will be back with another episode very, very soon. As always, let us know your feedback, any questions you have, anything you'd like us to cover. But yeah, we're going to be back with another episode probably in a couple of weeks.
We'll see you soon.